Making a good day into a better day is all about the perfect transition. This is episode 67 of the Leading Chaos Podcast. Chaos happens. Here we choose to lead chaos rather than be led by chaos. We're sharing tips, resources, networks, and interviews that help you validate your ability to lead chaos and remain steady on. Are you ready to lead chaos? Let's do it. This is the Leading Chaos Podcast, and I am your host, Rhea Windcaller. Welcome to the show. We are discussing a favorite topic for me this week, and anyone who knows me well knows that I'm constantly saying it's all about transitions. My name is Rhea Windcaller, and I am the CEO of Response Training Programs, which is a crisis intervention curriculum. And we specialize in the skills of conflict management. And of course, conflict is such a life skill that there are so many tidbits that we could glean off of it. We don't have to be dealing with acute, volatile situations. Heck, you know, every day there is a little conflict that I'm dealing with, and I'm sure you are too. And so I hope we could avoid getting into those more volatile situations by honing our baseline skills, which is what we do on this podcast. This week, we are talking about transitions, and it is it's the pièce de résistance of conflict management and life skills. Because it is all about transitions and how we move about life. And that is what a transition is. It's that moment in between two moments in time. And here's a couple examples. We transition from sleeping to waking every single day. So how you move from that sleeping moment to that waking moment, and how you create your world around that so that is a smooth transition, is going to really impact the rest of your day. And then for those of us who go off to work or go off to school or go off to any activity, how that transition looks. Are we running around the house, grabbing things frantically, driving our car really fast to work, or do we have it together and have everything set up more or less so that we don't have to speed, that we could kiss those we love goodbye or hug or wave to somebody along the way, just taking hold of that huge transition from our home life to our work life to our school life to our activity life. Another part of transition is just coming home from work, or home from your activities, or home from school. How we enter or leave our place of residence is critical. Every single day we do this. And it either takes control of us as chaos can, or we can take control of it and lead it so that we're feeling successful. Because a clear transition, a real successful one, is one that makes us or leaves us feeling, I'm doing okay. Another way that we have transitions in life is just changing from one task to another. Let's say you're going to now sit down and have dinner or have lunch or end that meal or end that conversation and move on to another. Those are all transitions. Transition can be just like from changing channels on a TV, if that's all that you're doing. But do you do that well, or are you like so switching off that you don't realize what you're actually watching? That's a transition that's gone astray, isn't it? I guess I have those days too. Another transition is welcoming a person into your office, into your room, into your setting. How do you create that? You're creating the stage of your life when you're looking at a transition. And the world is a stage. It doesn't have to be a huge Carnegie Hall stage. It could be a 10 by 10 foot square stage. And still, it's going to impact how you feel from that moment to the next. And of course, we have transitions when we are discussing a difficult conversation and wanting to move on. I mean, do you have that set up for yourself? I mean, we have lots of conversations, some that are often quite difficult with people that we love or people that we work with. And how do we set that routine so that we have a little bit of a tradition there, if you will, that will help us move on from that transition to the next, being able to leave it behind and move forward. Done well, it helps us move forward through life. Creating the perfect transition is easy. It doesn't take a lot of work. It only takes a little bit of practice. And the cool thing about life is it provides us ample time to practice, practice, and practice. So no worries here. You could do it very easily by taking a couple simple steps. Are you feeling good about the way you started your day? Did it seem like the pace fit you and felt right? And not only you, but anyone or any animal around you that you might be responsible for? Did the dog get the walk? Did the cat get fed? Did the parakeet get its water? Or were you running around the house a little frantic? That is the first stage of transition. So if you felt successful, right on. Keep it up. You're doing really well. If you felt like, you know, I could have done that a little bit differently, then tonight you already have your homework. You want to think about, how do I want to transition into the day tomorrow? What steps can I do to make it work for me? And that might be as simple as getting my lunch ready to go out the door tonight instead of tomorrow morning. Maybe picking out my clothes so they're ready to roll. Even planning with others that I might be living with who's going to use the bathroom first. And most importantly for some of us, not to turn off the alarm clock when it first rings and take that extra 10 minutes. It might not be serving us well. If we want to take that extra 10 minutes, then have our alarm clock set accordingly. These are really simple steps to take to begin our day. And often the way we begin our day, the rest of the day follows. And so it goes, to look back on your day thus far and what felt right and build upon that. These steps that help us throughout the day are what I consider our baseline transitions to get us through the day. I'd like to think and consider myself a pretty competent person, but even I need to practice my baseline transitions because I could go off the beaten trail too and kind of mess myself up. I get in my own way. We all do this. The goal then is to not give up on ourselves and just say the heck with it. It's a baseline transition because it is base. Base meaning there's a foundation. We could push off of the earth and keep ourselves propelling forward. That is what the world asks of us, and we are capable of doing that. And I know some of you listening right now, you might be that person who helps others in situations that can be very difficult. It might be in a mental health care setting where you're working towards helping others with their baseline transitions, and it feels like you're constantly moving through thick, thick mud and nothing is working. Well, like I said earlier, it's about practice, practice, practice. And sometimes we just haven't gone basic enough. Meaning that I say, okay, well, if I want to get up early, I have to set my alarm clock earlier. But that might not be base enough for me. I might have to even take a step further with my transition there by validating myself the night before, maybe having like a call a friend who says, hey, you know, I'm really having a hard time getting up in the morning, and having folks help me along the way. I know that you might be doing that for someone else right now. It could be your own child, or it could be a person in residential care somewhere at a mental health facility in the world. We're all trying to get through the day together. And that initial transition into life is a big one. Sometimes it comes easy and sometimes it doesn't. It doesn't make us less than or greater than on how we deal with that. It's just that some of us have more practice and some of us have more awareness. And it's an amazing thing. A little bit of awareness on this will go a really, really long way. So kicking up that baseline transition is a big one. Remember, the goal is to don't give up on yourself and others. Transitions are hard to do. If they were so easy, then I wouldn't be talking about it right now. And the one thing I've learned by doing the response curriculum and working with people around the world is that it's always the most simplest things that we humans really like to make complex. I don't know why. It's just what we do. We take a simple thought and we make it more complex than is necessary. So keep your baseline transition really simple for yourself. Think about success at that initial stage. If you're being successful in the morning, then continue on through the day until you go to bed at night and see how well you can make each step along the way easier for you and for others. Let's talk more about others, because that is another type of transition, and that is called conversational transitions. How we engage with a person and begin and end a conversation. It's probably happened to each and every one of us. It might have already happened to you today, where you might have started a conversation or someone's tried to start a conversation with you and the timing was just not right. And then sometimes we just then end up throwing our hands up in the air and saying, there is no time, there is no right time, or we never find the right time to talk about difficult things. This is what happens, and that's why we give up on transitions, and we kind of lose our awareness, and we don't move forward. If we take a step back and really take a hold of this, we're able to create conversational transitions that not only help us feel productive and healthy, but those we love and work with feel healthy and productive too. And again, it's simple. It begins with picking the right time to have a chat. And that requires a wee bit of awareness of the person that you're speaking to, which goes hand in hand with boundaries. Being aware that when you're coming in to a conversation, if that person is able and capable of listening to you right now. If they're in the middle of a project and you want to talk about something totally different, it's probably not going to work. For those of you who go away during the day and then come home from work or from an activity, you most likely need a little bit of downtime to get your thought transition processed a bit so you can be on to the next step. So our job as training in conversational transitions is knowing that awareness that's going on with somebody, paying attention to that so we know that, you know, what is our timing right now? Are we expecting too much of that person? And giving them that moment to transition into the room to begin the conversation. And that's the thing with transitions. Sometimes it requires a spatial component. Moving from one room to another, our bodies have to acclimate. It's just as if you were flying on a trip and you have that jet lag where you're going from one time zone to another. Your body's going to need a little bit to get onto that time zone. You could look at that in the same way when a person comes into a new room. Let their body adjust. You'll see there's a relaxedness. They kind of get their awareness of their surroundings. That's when you're able to begin the conversation. It's a really interesting thing on the conversational transitions, because this is where the conflicts start happening, that we lose that awareness and we're not helping that person kind of catch up to our speed. Or we're in that position where somebody's demanding something from us and we are not on their timing. And then the conflicts occur. It's like fireworks going off, and they're not happy fireworks, not at all. So to create a good conversational transition is really easy. Always could begin with taking that pause and exhale, which we talk about quite a bit in the response model, and noticing the person that you're speaking with, if they are willing and able to chat with you. If you're not sure, you could ask them, "Do you need a minute? Can I come back?" This is whether that person is a family member or, again, you are in that care setting trying to have a dialogue with somebody who is not in the right frame of mind right then. They might not necessarily be present. And therefore, it's going to serve no one to force a conversation onto somebody. It really doesn't matter where you are in the world. We're always doing flubs around conversational transitions by just lacking that awareness. So take those simple steps. Notice what's going on with that person. Notice, are their shoulders down? Are they breathing normally? Are they giving you some type of eye contact, nodding of the head, signifying that they are present with you and can transition into that conversation you want to have? Or conversely, they're transitioning out of it and getting really fed up with you, and you might now be in the label of, "Dang it, you're badgering me, and just get the heck away from me. Get away, step back." That's another piece of knowing a good conversational transition, is when you know when to go and know when to exit. Base transitions and conversational transitions. You could call them what you want. I'm just putting them in these two categories. There are so many different types of transitions when you really start looking at it. And then before we leave, I want to talk about a third one, which is trip transitions. And that is so common for everyone. In fact, it stops people from even taking trips or going out because they feel so unsuccessful and they can't do it well. And there's a dread when people want to go on vacation that there gets to be so much anger and frustration, and people get on each other's nerves, that the vacation starts off not in a loving way, but with people yelling and screaming and wanting to walk out of the house and not go on a holiday. Now, that's not a good thing at all, is it? And that's one of those scenarios that we know it's coming, but we don't know what to do about it. And yet, it's all about the right and perfect transition that could help us get through that moment. Part of that all comes down to preparedness. With all of these things, it all comes down to giving ourselves a little bit of time to think through the steps that we want to be successful for ourselves and others. And if it means getting all the food packed, all the suitcases packed, and getting to the airport on time, that could be a real increased anxiety for some of us. Sometimes I'm really good at it, sometimes I'm not, depending upon where I am. So I have to give myself a little bit of space when I'm going on that trip to create that transition well and plan ahead. There's a real baseline there of having a list for yourself and checking it off, making sure you give yourself a little bit of time beforehand. It's kind of like doing that base transition where you're giving yourself time before you go to work in the morning. Well, the same thing when you're doing a trip. You don't start packing the night before. That would really cause a lot of chaos for me if I started packing for a big trip the night before. I have to plan way ahead for all trips that I do. And it keeps my sanity really sound and everyone around me. That is a preparation for going on a trip. And then there's a return piece. If you are in a household where one of your household members is going away on a trip, a long trip, and coming back and hasn't been there for 24 hours or more, there is going to be a little bit of disconnect. And that can really impact the transition. So if we're aware of that, then it works out really well. There's a reason why airport stores have all the little tchotchkes to grab and bring home. A little bit of a gift, a little bit of something that gets you out of what's been going on to, hey, here's something I want to gift you with because you mean a lot to me. It could be flowers, a bottle of wine, a special book, a little trinket that lets a person know that you are aware and noticing them. That is how to do a transition well. So watch out for those trip transitions. I could go on and on about that. If you're having difficulty and feeling really flustered when a trip is occurring and it's more headache than it's worth it, then look at that transition piece there and say, what can I do to be proactive here? Because you know you could do something. There's always something that can be done and that can make it work. Otherwise, nobody would be taking any trips and nobody be, you know, having holiday resorts or anything. There'd be a whole industry that would collapse if we all stayed home. And we don't want that. We really need those kinds of holidays to kind of get out of our mindset and step away from the rest of our day-to-day base transitions, if you will. Oh, I just love this topic. I could go on and on about it because it impacts our life so much. And there is really easy steps that we could take to really get a handle on it. The first thing you do is just to notice, reflect over what you've been doing that is really working well. And then you could go over what isn't working and how you could change that to help that transition run a bit more smoothly. And two, that couples with number one is that general awareness to notice and look outside of yourself and see how you are impacting others. Dang, that will go a really long way. So just two steps, looking at your life and having an awareness. That makes for a very good transition indeed. Wow, I love talking about this topic. If you have some thoughts or some other names for transitions that you've experienced, send me an email. I'm at Rhea, and that is R-I-A, at leadingchaospodcast.com. And if this podcast is providing you with some really great info and giving you some food for thought, please leave a review and rating wherever you find your podcasts, be that iTunes or Stitcher if you have an Android. I know these podcasts are coming out just about once a month now, and do know that I so enjoy each and every time we get together. This is Rhea Windcaller signing off for now. Be kind, be safe, and may you have a very smooth transition today. Ciao for now.